Brother, I appreciate the series of lessons we've been hearing on the subject of prayer. Amen, brother. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, we're going to get back into our series on prayer. We're going to start out in Philippians chapter 4. And this week is the third lesson. I can't say it's the third week because we had some stuff in between it. But this week we're going to look at what can be accomplished through prayer. Now, I know, guys, that I'm preaching to the choir here, and you guys are pretty solid in this, but, you know, I get uplifted by going over this stuff, and I hope you do too. So we're going to start out in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And God's word says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Guys, hear where it says, be careful for nothing. Do you know what that's talking about? Somebody.
Don't worry.
Worrying, yes. You know, the cure for worrying is to be in constant communication with the Lord. Now think about that. You know, when our mind starts going in that direction of worrying, and I'm very guilty of this, guys, you know, if we stay in communication with Him through prayer, you're not going to be worrying about it. You know, and like I say, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, guys, but, you know, I have that problem. Am I the only one that has that problem? Okay, so the cure for worrying is to be in constant communication with the Lord. And it says do it in everything, not just what you need help with. It's with everything. We are to be in communication with the Lord. And it says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then what happens when you do that? It says, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Guys, this is not a peace that we can get ourselves. This is a supernatural peace that only God can give us. So by doing what He says, by being careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay, now let's also look in James. Now, you're going to get your Bible drills today because I got a lot of scripture here. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, guys, this doesn't say to confess your sins to a priest. I think you guys know what I'm talking about. I don't want to elaborate on that. But we're not to confess our sins to nobody but one person, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But here it's saying confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. Now, I'm going to pick on Brother John because I like him. And it kind of goes back and forth here. But Brother John, if he comes to me, and he's not going to confess his sins to me, but if he has a fault, whatever it may, he don't have many faults, by the way. But if John comes to me and he tells me of a problem that he's having, or vice versa, I could go to him, any of you. But we share these problems with a brother or a sister. You can intelligently pray more. I'm not supposed to use more better. But you can pray more intelligently for that person.
That's right.
If you know their faults.
Right.
You know, now I'm not saying you go and tell everybody your faults. I'm not going to do that. You know, but if you go to somebody that you love dearly and talk to them about a fault that you have, that person can pray for you more intelligently about God's will in your life. You know, and we all have that problem, guys. We all need people that we can go to and talk to them about that. Okay?
Good.
All right. Now, I want to read to you something I found here. And what we're talking about here is what can be accomplished through prayer. I want to read this. I'm not saying it's a poem, it's a quote. Poverty stricken as the church is today in many things, she is most stricken here in the place of prayer. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, but few prayers. Many singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, but few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many riders, but few fighters. Guys, if we fail in this area of prayer, we fail in everything. You know, that's how we communicate with God, is through prayer. Okay, so this gets me all to point number one. Prayer changes us. I want you to look at Proverbs 3. Now, I realize this is a very well-known verse. It should be to you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's something I committed to memory a long time ago. And it's very good verses. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Now, guys, there's three things here in these two verses that are very clearly told for us to do in order for him to do what it says at the end of that verse, direct thy path. First of all, we're to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust has an idea of laying helplessly out here on the ground, face down. When you're lying like that, you're helpless. And it tells us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's point number one of the three things of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Number two, it says, lean not unto thy own understanding. Lean means not relying on something or someone else rather than supporting yourself. So we're to lean not unto our own understanding. I know us guys have a hard problem with that, because someone will quote Brother Sherman that was here Friday. We as men fix things. God wired us that way. But we're not to lean to our own understanding. That's not what God wants for us. And then the third thing, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge meaning to know God personally and be in fellowship with him. And by doing these three things, God's word says that he shall direct thy path. Meaning to make your path straight, clear obstacles, enable one to go forward for Christ. That's a great promise, guys. Another promise. Now, we looked at this last week, but it's another verse, Psalms 37. Last week, we looked at Psalms 37, 3, 4, and 5. We're going to look in Psalms 37, verse 23 this time. Psalms 37, verse 23. Lots of good promises in the Psalms, guys and ladies. Psalms 37, verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Guys, I mean, you can put good woman there too, because we don't want to leave anybody out. The steps of a good man or a good woman are a delight to the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Another set of verses that are very well known. Romans 8. We're going to read 26 through 28. Romans chapter 8. Excuse me. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And verse 28, very well known, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, or love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Guys, for the saints according to the will of God, it said in verse 27, we need to be in the will of God. And then in Philippians 4:6, you don't have to turn there, 4:7, I'm sorry. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. That was what I opened up with in Philippians 4:6. So, basically, prayer does change us. That's what we just looked at. That was point number one. Point number two, through prayer, we fight the spiritual warfare. And we're going to look at the armor of God in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. We're going to look at verses 11 through 18. The armor of God, Ephesians 6, 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then in verse 13, it tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Verse 14, it says, we're to gird our loins about with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, prepared and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, verse 16, taking the shield of faith. Verse 17, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then in verse 18, it says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. So guys, what we wrestle against is not each other, and it's not flesh and blood. It's against spiritual wickedness in high places. And guys, you can't do that on your own. You can't wrestle with the devil and win. You have to leave it up to Jesus to do that. He's already won the battle. We just need to go to him for it. So, also look in Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Now, guys, I don't mark my Bible so I can beat you there. I'm doing just like you do. So, it's good. It's very good to do this, I think, the way I was taught, because you know, it helps you to learn your Bible and where everything is. So Luke chapter 22, we're going to look at 31 and 32. And this is Jesus talking here. And he said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So basically converted here is basically meaning turning back. Now, who is Simon, Simon? Who is that? Peter. Now, Peter's very well known in our Bible about opening his mouth and sticking his foot in his mouth. You know, and I can equate to that. But he tells him here, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. When you turn back, you strengthen your brothers. That's prayer. He's fighting a spiritual warfare here. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, I'll read it. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. So guys, point number two, through prayer we fight spiritual warfare. We have to do it on our knees, guys. Point number three, through prayer we acknowledge our submission to the will and the way of God. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 20 and 21. Ephesians 3, verse 20 tells us, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, worlds without end. Amen. Now in verse 20, the word exceedingly abundant is a double compounded word meaning super abundantly, used here. And it's also used in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, where Paul says, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That's another double negative word. A double compounded word indicating the intensity of Paul's prayers day and night. So, and then I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 5:13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among ourselves. So guys, prayer places the believer in an attitude of expectancy. The individual who doesn't pray tends to depend on human invention, circumstances, and expediency to make decisions. I hope you're not one of those guys, you know, because we need to pray about everything. The praying Christian is spiritually sensitized to God's word, to God's will, and God's way. Coincidence and accidents are foreign to a Christian, or they should be. So, point number three is, through prayer, we acknowledge our submission to the will of God and God's way. Point number four, through prayer, we demonstrate his presence and power in our daily life. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 16. And it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in the sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our passion. So we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by our feelings and our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So in verse 16 it says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. How do we do that? Through prayer. That's how you come before God, and you come before him boldly. Okay, so that was point number four. It was through prayer God demonstrates his presence and power in our daily life. Point number five, prayer serves as a spiritual watchdog against temptation. Look in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Mark 14, verse 38. Is that right? 14:38. Yep. 14:38 says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak. So it tells us to watch and pray. In 2 Corinthians 13:7, it says, now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that ye should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Reprobate is one that's tested and found unfit. So, let's read 1 Corinthians number 10. chapter 10. Excuse me. And we're going to read verse 13. Now there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He's going to make a way out. So prayer, guys, serves as a spiritual watchdog against temptation. Point number six, prayer is simply pleasing to God. Let's look in Revelations 5. Revelations 5, chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 8. And it says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. What were these odors? Which are the prayers of the saints. Okay, we're in Revelations. Look at one more. Revelations 8, 3 and 4. It says, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it up with the prayers of all the saints upon the altar, golden altar, which was before the throne. Verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came from the prayers of the saints. Guys, I believe that God's got all our prayers wrote down in heaven. You know, because it's saying here, it's going to come out here in the book of Revelations. And then one last verse here, Proverbs 15. I'll read it to you. I got it wrote down. Proverbs 15, verse 8. It says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Do you know what abomination means in the Bible? It's something that God detests. He hates it extremely. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. But the prayers of the upright is his delight. Guys, what can be accomplished through prayer? Prayer changes us, and it does. I think everybody knows that. Through prayer, we fight the spiritual warfare. When we get on our knees and we go to God, we're fighting the devil. We're not fighting man, flesh and blood, like it said in armor of God. We're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. Number three, prayer. Through prayer, we acknowledge our submission to the will of God and to the way of God. Through prayer demonstrates his presence and power in our daily life. I think we all want that. Prayer serves as a spiritual watchdog against temptation. And finally, prayer is simply pleasing to God. You want to please God? Pray to him, because he loves that. And then I'm going to close with this. Philippians 4:6, we read it, but it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when we do that, God will bless it. He wants us to come to him in our prayer. You know, prayer is basically talking to God. When God talks to you, it's through here, reading his word. We talk to God, it's through prayer. Let's go to the word, Lord, in prayer. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your word and what it teaches us, Lord. And Lord, we all want to be good prayer warriors for you. And we just want to just lift you up, Lord. And we don't want the glory. You get the glory, Lord. You know, we're just here today and gone tomorrow. Lord, put us out of the way and you come first, Lord. We must decrease and you must increase, Lord. Lord, we love you and we just want to be obedient to you. So be with us during our services. Open up our hearts. Be with pastors. He brings the word and guide him, Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.